Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Alright, so this week, Chris and I, we both watched Raw, but we experienced it in very different fashions.
Yes. Joel, I believe you watched it late.
Uh-huh.
By late, I mean, what, a couple hours ago?
Yes.
Whereas I watched it live.
You watched it as soon as possible.
I saw it in 3D. I was at the event. Me and a friend of the show, Jason, or J-Roll as he loves to be called. You should call him J-Roll.
I'm not going to call him J-Roll. That's the name for a donut.
So?
No, I'm not going to call him J-Roll.
So?
So, no.
Whatever. Everyone else should call him J-Roll. Anyway, we saw it, and it was a fun experience. Much better than the last time we, saw a live event, which was, it was what, May?
It was May. It was right when, because it was right before.
It was right before Over the Limit.
Over the Limit.
And because they had announced the Daniel Bryan and CM Punk match that night, I believe.
Yeah, which is probably almost.
Which we almost thought about getting tickets to Over the Limit. Although I still kind of wish we did.
Yeah.
Looking back.
Looking back, because it's like, yeah, it's one of my, like, top match of the year is...
Yeah, like, the downfall of it was, you know, it was in the midst of the whole Laurinaitis thing.
Yeah, no,
so
that was...
We got a Laurinaitis cold open, and the last match was something involving Tensai.
Well, it was, because Daniel Bryan was still
actually
heel at the time.
And he teamed up with Tensai.
So we did get, we got some Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in-ring action.
Yeah.
Which is why I was okay with not going to...
But I believe it ended with Tensai beating Punk. I think.
That sounds... I feel like I would still be sad about that.
No, because they had to do a dark match after that of...
Yeah, you're
Cena
right.
Very quickly disposing of Kane.
Right, Cena had to beat Kane for it in the dark match, so...
Yeah. With one arm, apparently.
Yeah, because he had his
quote-unquote injured
arm injury at the time.
From the Lesnar. But the highlight of the last time we were there was we got to see the debut of... Or
the return.
The return, I should say, of Paul Heyman.
Paul Joseph Heyman.
Is his middle name Joseph?
Oh, no.
Alright. I always take you for a fact when you make up people's middle names. You jerk.
Yeah.
But this time, overall, the episode was much better. And I also watched it later when I got home, just to see what the TV was actually like. And yeah, it stood up pretty well.
Yeah.
So what should we do? Should we just walk through my experience? Or
yeah, I suppose. I mean, just hit the highlights. All right. What was it like seeing Vince?
Yeah, that's the big one. I'll get to it. Let's see. The first thing that really jumped off at me, we had some better seats. A little bit too close to the edge of the stage that I would have liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were much closer to the ring. We were practically on top of the ramp. The only bad thing is that we really didn't get to see the Tron at all.
Yeah.
They started with the Superstars recordings. The first match was Zack Ryder versus Tensai. What a way to start the show, huh?
Yeah. Zack Ryder has, like, dropped back down.
And so has Tensai. And that was that, because that was something I thought about. I was like, last time we were here, Tensai was in the main event of Raw. Now he's in the opening match of Superstars.
Yeah.
You know? And he won. Spoilers, I guess, if you're planning on watching Superstars later.
But Zack Ryder, I felt, had done the right things to give a legitimate
push
to be, like, a lower card.
Yeah, like, I don't understand what's happened.
Tensai,
I was scenes.
Perfectly ready for
it. Well,
yeah,
and we kind of saw it coming, but Zack Ryder got all this momentum behind him, got all these people behind him, and then... Got Hugh Jackman behind him. And then the WWE essentially just sat on it and
let
fizzle.
You can trace it pretty solidly back to him getting thrown off the ramp by Kane.
Yeah, that was...
And I think...
Pretty metaphoric.
Honestly, I really just think they did not expect such an instant heel turn for Eve.
Yeah.
Like...
From
from blah 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 with Cena.
Tonsil surgery on Cena.
I think that just that forced them to rewrite everything related to that feud. Just because they were so confused about what they won.
I mean, but that's something new.
Yeah.
But moving on, I did want to touch on the second Superstars match. Just because it was just... It's like the people backstage were just like, how can we get as much stuff crammed in a 5-6 minute match on Superstars? We opened up, we got the guest, the special guest timekeeper, which was Hornswoggle. We got the special guest commentator, which was Natalya. And then we got the special guest referee, which was the Great Khali, which is hilarious in various ways, in which I'll go more into that. The people for the actual match came out. We got Brodus, along with the Funkadactyls, so that's three more people. And then we got David Otunga. So we have all these people in the ring. The match begins, and of course, since Hornswoggle's out there, here comes Rosa Mendez with a bouquet of flowers, so that adds one more person out, and she promptly, you know, whacks Hornswoggle upside the head with the flowers.
I'm happy to see this story getting pushed to Superstars.
I know. Oh, yeah. Me too.
Although, I would be kind of bummed if it drug Del Rio down with it, because
if it gave him something to do, I'd be okay with it, rather than stick him in the... A drawn-out feud for months on...
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did nothing this week anyway, but...
Yeah.
But for the first time in a long time, I'm kind of interested in Del Rio again after Survivor Series.
Yeah, Survivor Series definitely helped him out. I'll give you that. Match went on, and, you know, hijinks ensued. But the biggest highlight from that was... because I was sitting back in my seat really just wondering... How is the Great Khali going to count a pin? And sure enough, he found a way to count the pin without leaving his feet. He just kind of like hunched over and just flailed his arm about three times. And that was the end of the match. So, we had that. It's just a random group of people.
No.
You know, apparently Natalya is in the storyline now where she has a thing for Khali. I don't watch SmackDown, but that's what I've gathered.
Poor Natalya.
Yeah, I know. And in person, dude, Natalya's pretty hot.
Poor Natalya.
I know. Poor girl.
This is after she got the farting gimmick.
Yeah, I know.
Golly.
And then they teamed her up with Beth for a while, and now Beth's gone, so she don't even have her best friend. She doesn't even have the Heart Legacy anymore.
Yeah.
Heart Dynasty, whatever they call it.
Heart Dynasty is gone. I mean, it's this kind of problem, and Tamina's kind of suffering from the same thing, where they're getting in on their names, and that's not to say that they're not talented and not deserving of the opportunity.
Right.
But they're definitely getting put in the company and on the TV without anything for them to do.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're any way related to anyone from the Hearts, or if you're from...
unless you're David.
Well, he was...
I mean, he got a little bit of time.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was the son of the British Bulldog, so, I mean, you know, that's close enough.
Yeah.
He was like a... brother-in-law or something? So
I don't know.
Technically family.
Yeah, he was, but that's what I'm saying, is he's not there anymore.
I mean, he was closer to family than Tyson Kidd was.
Yeah. Tyson Kidd's still there.
Right. Basically, if you were in any way related to the Wild Samoans, you're in.
Yeah.
We're seeing that now with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Speaking of, that brings me to the beginning of Raw. See? Yeah. Those Segway classes are paying off. Shut up. I'm in... Class one. we got the beginning of Raw. Started with a match with Dan O'Brien and Kane, which I promptly yelled Team Friendship.
Good.
I refuse to use the other name for them.
Boo the other name.
Yes, against the Primetime Players. And as soon as the match was about to begin, we noticed that in the, well, as Michael Cole referred to it, the skybox... Which, if you've been in the Greensboro Coliseum, there's no such thing as a skybox. It's not really that high up. it's so high up, it's on the main concourse level. They were in this box, which was literally, like, one section over from me.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I had to get over myself, like, get over my, just spastic moment of, I'm so close to Dean Ambrose kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And holy crap, Roman Reigns is huge in person. The TV does not do that dude justice. But we got there running. They you know, very calmly and quietly went down the steps during the match, you know, looking all mean and menacing.
Super angry.
And
face.
if you heard during the match at one point where everyone just started cheering and yelling for Cena, that's because there was a Cena impersonator that was roaming around around that same time and just kind of making a big show of it. And the kids kind of went nuts for a little bit. He had me fooled for like 5 seconds, and then I was like, wait, why does he need tickets? He's not fired. He wasn't fired from the Nexus or anything like that.
Yeah. No Juan Cena.
No Juan Cena's needed. Trying to think of like the big points. I guess the biggest one is I got
Gary Vince.
Yeah, the biggest one would be Vince.
Yeah.
I got to see Vince. I know it hurts Joel because, as we stated in the last podcast, Joel's half asleep state was very frugal with his money.
Yeah, it's the reason why we have different reactions to this because, asleep. Apparently, I wasn't willing to shell out the money for tickets.
Oh, quick note! I was just reminded of a note. When they cut to the camera that was in the skybox with the Shield.
Uh-huh.
There was a quick shot of the opposite side of the arena,
the non-camera side. Yeah.
And you got to see all of the empty seats. There were so many empty seats on the other side.
Yeah.
It was almost embarrassing. Like, we noticed when we were going in through the main entrance, they were checking our tickets. A lot of people, they would scan a ticket and all of a sudden something would go off and like, oh, we've changed your seats. You have to go to the box offices to find out where you were really sitting. Apparently, they had just moved a whole bunch of people over to camera side.
To make it
full.
Yeah, they do that.
They did that. Most of the upper deck was completely blacked out.
Yeah.
It was...
And it's not uncommon to see people, especially
right.
like at SmackDown tapings and TNA tapings, to be like, this is what the other
side
is.
Yeah, this is Monday Night Raw at Greensboro, which is usually... It's usually all completely packed.
That's a lot.
It's a historical.
Yeah. This is where Starrcade was.
Right.
Which was the other WrestleMania.
Right. So I don't really understand. I guess economy wise, whatever.
Economy wise, this did kind of sneak up on us.
It did.
But
it seemed like the last time they were here, they announced it further ahead of time.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I am surprised that it.
Yeah, it was. It was
as empty as it was.
I would say of the seats that weren't blacked out, I would say they were about 75% full.
Yeah.
Going back to Vince. Apparently, they'd been saying it on the show the entire time that Vince was going to be there. The people in the stands in the arena had no idea, and so we saw him in the backstage footage.
Yeah.
And he came out, and I went nuts. I was really debating on telling Joel right then and there.
Jason did.
And then all of a sudden, Jason pulled out his phone, like, he had already sent you, like, 2 texts by that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. All right.
Well, he sent me a picture
right.
of Vince, but it was very blurry, like, and all I'd see was, like, it was definitely a guy in a suit. And so he sent me this other text, like, check out that man's swagger. I was like, Jack Swagger's back? I don't care. I'm in no way excited about this. So
yeah.
I snuck onto the internet real quick and and looked for some updates. And
while
like,
you were at work,
yeah. Vince has entered. And I was like,
yeah.
Vince has entered.
I mean, it wasn't really that awe-inspiring of a moment, other than the fact that we got to see him.
Other than you got to see him.
Because pretty much all I did was come out and work, think you like a puppet.
Yeah.
We do got to talk about what that announcement was.
Yeah.
I guess we might as well go ahead and touch on it.
So we have a match set up for TLC that's Cena and Dolph for Dolph's briefcase.
Yeah.
Which initial reaction was boo. Did you boo that?
I think I was just more dumbfounded. I couldn't make any noises. I was literally sitting back in my chair, just completely pissed off.
Yeah.
As was most of everyone else in our section.
Yeah.
Except for the kids. The kids loved it.
Well, as cooler heads after the initial reaction of boo.
Yeah.
I would actually be very interested to see Cena winning, going over to SmackDown for a little bit, being a SmackDown superstar, and being World Heavyweight Champion, leaving Dolph free to stay on the roster of Raw. This would also, here's the thing, is Ryback is a solid number two face banging at the door for number one.
We'll get to that too, yeah.
So I could definitely see, let's try this out, especially if Cena, is still in pseudo injury recovery mode.
Right.
This not live TV show might be a nice place for him to hang out for a while.
Yeah, it could be.
The worst thing that can happen is he wins this and we disregard that it was a SmackDown Money in the Bank.
Right, and it was just a regular. There's reports out today saying that there had been discussion fairly recently of them being okay with Dolph eventually cashing it in again for the WWE Championship. They're open to it.
Yeah.
They don't have any plan or anything. They were just we're open to it, which kind of negates the use or the need to have two of them.
Right.
Two matches at the pay-per-view.
Well, the more that these two brands are blurred into one, the sillier it is.
Right.
That you have two top belts.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's just I don't even think of Ziggler as a SmackDown talent anymore.
Yeah.
He's pretty much a mainstay on either. And there was also a guy who, January of this year, he was in a match for the WWE Championship.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I would. I really thought when they got to the turn the tag team to a fatal four way, I really thought they were going to unify the belts for a minute there.
For a second, I had that moment, and I was gonna bring that up here in a little bit too. That was probably the in ring highlight of the night. That fatal four way match, very very good match.
Yeah. I'm coming around to Antonio.
I am too, and this was a great way to further establish him, because we're putting him in the ring with three other established higher mid-card guys.
Yeah.
Or just established guys in general, where Cesaro is not nearly, to that level yet. So, he held up his own. It was a great way to do that. The big surprise, though, at the beginning was the fact that Teddy Long came out to pretty much break up a tag team match.
Goes against every poor...
Oh, yeah.
Every fiber of his being.
You could see the pain searing through his eyes to make that decision.
I won't do it!
And also, it was awkward. I told Joel this last night when he got here. The promo where Vicky had, a circus clown troupe of people going through her office... that whole segment, right before that, they had already done the intros for Wade Barrett, Cesaro, and R-Truth. So the three of them were in the ring to that entire promo, the entire, next commercial break. Then we had that entire promo in Vicky's office, Kofi's entrance, then the next commercial break when everyone was voting, and then they finally had it. And it was really awkward. And that explains why there was so many, R-Truth chants during Vicky's promo.
Yeah.
Which was kind of random if you didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah, those are definitely
odd. And, of course, that gave plenty of time for me and several other people that were sitting around us to to just kind of like guess who's going to win what. Because we had all assumed that they were going to put up the U.S. Championship on the line.
Assuredly, the Raw active.
Right.
We'll pick the heel to.
Exactly. So I was just going back and forth. Like, initially, I was thinking Wade Barrett would get it. But as the match grew on, I kept just entertaining the idea of Kofi having both. I didn't really think about like unifying them. I just thought he'd just have two separate titles. But that is an interesting thought, you know, that they would put a champion
in
that situation
match.
With another championship.
I mean, they've done that before, but that's almost just guaranteed a loss for that champion.
Right.
You know.
But this, I don't know, this...
Or when somebody, a champion, wins a Money in the Bank, we know they have to lose their mid-card belt before cashing in.
Right, right. But all that aside, the match is really good. Cesaro retained. I think it made him look a lot stronger than what he already was.
Yeah, which I'm glad for.
Oh, yeah.
And we should also talk about big news. CM Punk got hurt.
He earlier today being Tuesday.
Yeah.
We got word that CM Punk had to have emergency knee surgery today. And then a few hours later they came out and they said that, you know, everything went well and should make a full recovery. But some people are doubting that he would be good to go for a TLC match, which is kind of understandable, I guess.
Yeah.
But that still kind of gives Ryback, or puts Ryback in need of something to do, because he needs to be on that favorite.
They're not gonna waste what they have.
The crowd is going to be pissed if he's not, because that's one thing I was going to bring up. At the end of Raw, after the Shield came out and all that was in full effect and Ryback's music hit, I've never heard a crowd react like that. Like, I'd heard, you know, Ryback reactions on the television or whatever, but being there in person, like, it's just a whole other thing, dude. Like, Cena did not get that reaction. Sheamus never got that reaction. It's just, like, this dude is just established, like, firmly established at the top now. Really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and I only, of course, you know, that can always fizzle out, like, nobody's business, but still.
I mean, we were bickering and complaining about that slow build of crushing Jimmy the Jobber we got.
True.
Apparently, it worked. They did it right.
Apparently, they did it right.
Because they have Ryback getting exactly
what they want.
And it's
funny that I just said that statement that it felt like, or that it just happened all of a sudden, when really they've been building this for a long time. Like, because I even forgot that Ryback had a squash match the last time they were in Greensboro.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that, and I was rolling my eyes the entire time when he was out there.
Yeah.
So,
when I predicted Ryback in a WrestleMania match last year,
yeah,
not so silly now.
I also said Damian Sandow was going to be in there, so,
take that.
But then again, I also said Cole was going to be in it, too.
Yeah, you have Cole Cabana on your list, so.
Well, I mean, I don't know, maybe the whole finger injury is a whole ploy.
Well, here's the thing, like, it was bad enough, apparently, that there was talk on the internet, nothing from WWE, but there was talk of him vacating the title, of CM Punk vacating the title.
Really?
And,
I hadn't heard that.
I mean, just, you know, discussion of, like, would he have to do it, and,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
How would... Basically, The Rock has to be in a WWE match in January.
Right.
So if CM Punk is out through then...
Then he
has to vacate the title. It has to go somewhere else.
Right. And, I mean, it's part of their whole thing. Like, you have to defend your championship every 30 days kind of thing, whatever.
Now, they can pretty easily right away, you know, right around him having to defend it at TLC. Without him having to vacate.
Right.
You know, I think that's within 30 days of...
Right, and I mean, when they said that, you know, he wouldn't be able to go for TLC. They said that it was doubtful that he'd be, like, not definite. I mean, he probably will be ready by January.
Yeah, I mean, a ladder match is one that you can kind of gimmick around, but it's kind of a TLC match, and you don't want to have
a lackluster
TLC match.
A lot of things can go wrong, especially when you're facing a guy with such a brutal moveset, you know.
And if you're going up against The Rock, if you're building to a Rock match the next month,
you better be...
Give him the month off, yeah, let him rest.
And I would be okay with that. And once again, it would just be... We really wouldn't know what Ryback would be doing.
Well, that's
unless it's something against him versus the Shield. But that would bury Shield pretty quickly.
That would... A handicap match against Ryback? That would... No.
He'd take all three of them out.
Yeah.
Knowing their booking.
Yeah. So now you have Ryback with theoretical no opponent.
Right.
No championship match. And no TLC match. So...
Yeah, they're going to have to...
some stuff has got to be adjusted.
Well, for one thing, that opens the door for a...
Tag team TLC!
Does open the door for that. I wonder, oh, dear Lord. I just had that thought just now. I wonder if they'll even entertain the idea.
That's the thing, is like, I feel like if they gave it any consideration, that'd be a guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
That could even,
That could be your main event.
That could be your main event, especially...
And you can even, like, team up big-time guys and throw them in there.
Yeah.
You know, you could have Team Friendship, and you could throw in some of the regular tag teams. But you saw with the Money in the Bank ladder matches that you can have, you know, like, eight guys going for it.
Yeah.
So, with a TLC match, that's just adding more equipment, you know? And, yeah, things could get a little crowded and stuff, but...
We put up a lot of people taking naps outside the ring.
Mainly Big Show, yeah.
Mainly Big Show. But I'm saying, that's like...
Oh, yeah.
This is not the part where I'm like, nope, I don't buy it anymore for this one match.
Right.
It's too much. I really think, I mean, you have what, one more Raw before?
One more Raw, yeah.
You have one more Raw, and you have two more SmackDowns. You really push that, you could have a solid tag team TLC main event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and that's the thing, is like, I feel like if there's any, like, consideration, that'll happen.
And
but,
if they do, and I just had a really good idea. Sorry to break your train of thought here. I know. If they did throw Ryback in the mix, but I already know who would be a good partner for him.
Hornswoggle?
No. Miz.
Miz and Ryback?
After the ending of Raw
this
week, it seems perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Have two of the Shield in there.
I mean, the Shield's probably going to run an interference anyway.
Yeah.
Especially for anything involving Ryback.
Actually, that would be a really interesting thing. They need to, you know, obviously... Some sort of promo needs to happen next week to justify them clearly attacking only faces when they're supposed to be
keeping the
honor in the sport. So,
as I learned from the law students sitting around us, a lie detector test is pretty inadmissible in court, especially when you had compounded. Questions from The Miz, because he asked two questions at once.
Yep.
That's not how you do a polygraph test.
Yeah, no, I know that.
And apparently that guy who was administering the test, apparently he's legit, because apparently one of those law students has worked for the firm that guy works for.
Well, that's nice.
Which is why when everything went down, that dude took off so fast. Like, he ran, like, to the side of the ramp, right where we were, and we were like, run for your life!
You need to get out of there.
Yeah.
But I guess that wasn't CM Punk's actual answers on the Jumbotron there.
I assume not. I didn't get a good look at that.
I don't know if he can, like, force a lie, because he probably, you know, knows the answer to
if he's
going
to win. You know how they have the setup, they have the table, you know, long ways. There was a big cord coming out the back of that table.
Yeah.
Going underneath the ring and outward. So they very well could have been hooked up to the Tron. Of course, it might not have been his actual answers, but it's just hooked up to that computer.
I mean, yeah, they need to he needs to lie when storyline he needs to lie.
Unless CM Punk has an uncanny ability to alter his heart rate at a given moment and spike at that one.
I mean, Batman has that ability, and he is the Batman of the WWE Universe.
Very true. Very true. And
that's a long standing.
Not the villain we deserve, but all right. But now that we've mentioned that the ending of Raw, after watching it, I am really interested in seeing a Punk and Miz feud now. And they don't even have to fight. They could just, you know, argue with each other all day. That was fantastic.
I bring back the debate format that I hate as a standard.
Well, I mean, you know, throwing R-Truth in the debate standard is fantastic.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have Big Show and Sheamus.
And faulty podiums.
Although faulty podiums bigger. That's the thing. It's like every terrible debate has had one little shining.
Oh, yeah. There's always one shining moment. Although I do take exception at one moment or a few moments with Miz. Guilford County, not Gulford County.
He messed up twice.
He messed that up twice in two separate segments in the show. So it's like someone at the backstage could have told him, dude, it's Guilford, you idiot.
Yeah.
I haven't even been living here that long and I already know.
I am a little upset that the population still succumbed to the cheap pop and didn't have to yell corrections at him.
I was yelling it.
Well, good for you.
I yelled that. Anytime when people were chanting Walrus.
Yeah.
At Paul Heyman, CM Punk's like, you all should be apologizing. I apologize.
Good for you.
I yelled, I'm sorry, Puck. But it's funny. Cuckoo ca-choo. I did yell that.
I would have. I yelled that apology at the screen when watching it.
Greensboro, sorry.
So.
Please like us. We know it's a dump.
Yeah.
Please. We're not Fayetteville, hooray. Just think of that when you go to tribute to the troops and you're sitting there watching Nickelback.
That's where TNA usually comes when they come to North Carolina.
Oh, they don't even go to the arena. They go to the old auditorium.
Yeah.
Which is like across the parking lot and only fits a few hundred.
I thought about going to the last one.
It's depressing. They might have down there. They might have moved up.
I mean, they did like 2 weeks in a row, and I was actually in Fayetteville for one. And I was like, oh, never mind.
What kind of horrible curse did you have to be in Fayetteville for 2 weeks?
No, for one of the shows, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't trapped. But
most people are in that city. And basically now, like WWE has completely outgrown that. It's a costume that fits max maybe 10,000, which is completely tiny compared to most stadiums. Usually now, the only time WWE ever shows up is for house shows or SmackDown tapings. And then they did the tribute to the troops because of, Fort Bragg.
Right.
Matter of fact, you might have seen the tribute to the troops promo that they did, and they have a little banner down and said, Fort Bragg! That's actually Fayetteville. I don't know why. They decided to call it Fort Bragg. Just because it's the name of the base.
Yeah.
And it was tribute to the troops, but whatever.
Yeah. So, moving right along.
Moving along.
We have the rest of TLC to fulfill.
Yeah.
Which, I'm all for a main event tag team match.
Mm-hmm. We have,
We do have Sheamus and the Big Show.
We have a chairs match.
Who's in the chairs match?
That's Sheamus.
I thought they had tails match.
No.
Cool.
I look back on it, they totally set it up in Survivor Series with Sheamus whacking
with the chair
like 30-something times.
Yeah.
I'm
weirdly excited for that match. Like,
I'm okay with it.
Those guys, like, that's the thing is, I'm always gonna say I like, you know, happy side character Big Show more than angry Big Show. But he has really brought it this time.
This time, yeah. When he was healing it up with Cena,
Namagoose.
But now, yeah. Now I can. Now it's serviceable.
He's doing heal. This is like, this is comparable to when he was actually pulling out the stops with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
So,
we have
that.
So we have the chairs match.
We have a ladders match.
We have a ladder match. Oh, yeah, yeah. The
Cena and Ziggles.
We need a table match.
We're missing a table match.
They always have one of those. Which means it's almost a 1 year anniversary to Big Show's oops face.
Big Show's oops face.
Or was it?
No, that was not. That was. Yeah.
Why did they have a tables match at Extreme Rules?
I don't know.
I can't even remember the tables match from last year. Then I remember the chairs match because that was the World Heavyweight Championship again.
I remember the TLC because that was an amazing match.
Yeah.
Where Ricardo took the bump off the top of the ladder.
Well, that was just a hero.
Well
that
done,
was,
sir.
That was a hero bump, but yeah.
Well done, sir.
That was fantastic.
That was a good pay-per-view.
It really was. It really was.
So, I
didn't I call that for pay-per-view of the year?
No.
I called it for match of the year.
No, you called Vengeance. With Del Rio and Cena.
I call that the match
ring.
Of the year.
Yeah.
I call that match of the year, okay. And the might have been with TLC for pay-per-view of the year.
Did you really have TLC pay-per-view of the year?
It might have been. I remember I was pretty high on that. Or at least I was highly considering it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have considered it, except I just had Money in the Bank there across
right.
the board.
Yeah, like, it was one of those things where, like, it was just had the unfortunate luck of, you know, being in the same year as Money in the Bank.
Yeah. So
we need a tables match.
We need a tables match.
We need, depending on what happens with this Punk situation, we'll need a TLC match.
Yeah.
A tables match could easily go for any of the mid-card belts. I don't know if the mid-card belts have been announced yet.
Mm-mm.
No?
Nothing. I mean, nothing officially yet. Well, here's...
But I do know Wade's going after Kofi.
Yeah.
And I do know R-Truth is going after Cesaro. I would assume if either of those was going to make the main show, it would be Kofi and Wade.
Yeah. I would assume that, except that they are pushing Cesaro.
They are.
So
I don't know. They've always given Intercontinental belt preferential treatment.
Yeah. I mean,
which is understandable the way they've, you know, booked it lately.
I would be fine either way, and I would not be too surprised either way, but if you made me pick, I would say that Kofi and Wade are gonna
right
be your answer.
And when it comes to like a tables match, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the real question. Let's say CM Punk, kind of worst comes to worst situation, he's out of commission until past January.
Okay.
So he has to
vacate now.
Because you have to have a Rock match. How would you do that?
They'll pull Cena.
They'll
pull Cena from the Ziggler match. Or what they do, they just make it up. You know what would be interesting? I just had this idea. Like a big TLC free-for-all. For, you know, involving like maybe 6 to 8 guys.
Yeah.
For the WWE Championship. No briefcase, no nothing. Like full on run for the belt.
I mean, your crowd and your main event there.
Crowd and your main event, yeah. But I think that would be something unique, something we haven't seen in a very long time. I don't think we've ever seen that many people in a WWE Championship ladder match.
Yeah, I mean, what you're TLCing a Money in the Bank just with top cards instead of mid cards.
Right. Which was basically the second Money in the Bank match from
this year.
The pay-per-view, yeah.
Which really suffered from... It's partially suffered from... It kind of defeats the point of Money in the Bank to elevate a mid-card
and
upper card.
Which is why it's better to do it this way with the for the belt.
Yeah. It also was fewer people than that. Just I liked having the 8-man.
Right. It had a better flow. Now, you know, the fewer people, it ended up not being that bad because it had guys like Jericho. I can't remember who else was in there.
Jericho was in it.
Miz
was in it.
Miz had a good few.
And Cena was in it. It was just 4.
Big Show.
Big Show? Yeah.
Big Show was in that too.
But.
So I'm pretty sure Big Show just took a nap.
Yeah. No, because Kane was busy with the whole AJ trifecta feud.
Yeah, because the championship that match that night was just it was the last Daniel Bryan and CM Punk match. Mm-hmm. So I think that would work well because then you could throw in Cena, you could throw in Ryback, you could throw in Ziggler, you could throw in Miz.
Yeah,
that's four right there. You can easily throw in a few others, or well, at least a couple others.
And okay,
like
but,
Randy Orton or something.
But
like that.
You would definitely have Cena be the victor and face The Rock.
I don't see why you don't, or why you can't. Because I mean, they're trying to put butts in seats.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get
like it's one of those things. Like who else?
No,
you know?
that's definitely
who else could basically take a hit from The Rock and survive. You know,
yeah,
you could put the belt on Ryback and kill his momentum.
I mean,
because that's one of the things that's always been the WWE Championship match. For Royal Rumble is the champion against one guy that would probably not be the winner of the Royal Rumble that you won't really necessarily need in the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean it's normally being in that match against the champion. It's a good way to show off that you're ready for
right, which is why we got
a main event match.
Which is why we got Ziggler in a championship match 2 years in a row.
Yeah, because he's ready for that.
Because he's ready for it. And he's not necessarily a guy that you basically hinged your entire Royal Rumble on.
Right.
You know.
So I would do it that way if you can get Punk back for WrestleMania. Because then he's got a tailor-made reason that he needs to be in the
right.
main event of WrestleMania.
Right.
And that way, yeah, you still have Cena. With the belt, Cena and Rocky, you take care of that.
It's just ironic because, if I'm not mistaken, the Cena championship run that's in the books that CM Punk passed today ended because Cena had to leave for injury.
Is that the one? I knew he had to leave once for injury. He had to vacate a title.
I believe that's what it was.
So
he vacated it, and they put it on Orton.
Yeah, if that was his,
if I remember correctly, yeah.
I knew he had to. I was looking it up. Yeah, Batista's the most recent person to have to vacate the title, and that was like 2009.
I don't remember that at all.
So yeah,
must have been heavyweight.
His arms. No, he's the only person to vacate both WWE champion and world heavyweight champion.
Because he got injured so much.
Yeah. Because his arms have boo-boos.
Because, well, he's walking boo-boo with his dumb sunshine tattoo on his belly button.
And because Andre the Giant, after he beat Hogan, he, you know, handed it off to Ted DiBiase.
Right.
He is, as far as I'm concerned, he is the only person to never lose the championship. Technically, Vince McMahon. Is also never lost the championship.
True.
Because his, like, what day that he had it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, double standard because Andre the Giant, clearly, you know, he had it for even less than a day. He had it for just long enough at the end of the match.
Right.
But it's really cool if Andre the Giant would be the only person to never lose the WWE championship.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, technically, you can probably claim that he's still champ.
Yeah. I mean, for that reason alone, I'd like Vince to win one more championship just so he can lose one. Just so Andre can be undisputed, the only person to never lose the championship.
I'm not so sure anyone else even, like, is thinking about that at all. I'm pretty sure you're the only person who had that thought.
But now you do.
Actually did the research. I'm not, no, I'm going to forget about this because I don't care.
It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to have.
Okay, sure. What is he going to do with it?
The champion?
Spoiler alert, he's dead. How's that?
I know.
How's that?
So you can never lose now.
You kind of already lost.
No, he went out on top.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's that. Oh, no, it doesn't wrap it up, because we got to mention that Braddock's came back. Sure would like him to win someday.
Me too. I was cheering for him too. I was just like, all right, buddy, you can come back from this. You can come back. Oh, you're not. Sorry, Alex. I still think you're fantastic.
Well, they're killing this really good storyline.
Yeah, unless you're going to turn him into the guy that just always is going to, like, be overconfident and believes he has a shot and could be completely demolished week after week.
Yeah, that's not the storyline I care about.
No.
I'm more interested in the disgruntled underdog indie scrap pile.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, you know, the big story, the big storylines of the company is it's getting kind of crowded.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Cena.
That's the thing, though.
You got the Shield, you got Ryback. All that seems completely separate, but yet connected at the same time.
Here's the thing. That is what made the Attitude Era so good. Not the Attitude part of it. The fact that there was, that everything felt main event-y.
Right.
And the reason that the PG era, quote unquote, was so terrible.
Everything
was because it was just this rotating Orton Cena, Triple H, Orton Cena, Triple H thing.
True.
For so long. And just they were your only main eventers month after month after month, pay per view after pay per view.
True.
So I want them to crowd up the main event scene. I think, you know, Rock was top face, top guy, face of the company for 3 years and still was Stone Cold.
Right.
And the reason that Cena, it doesn't work now, is because he's been there.
He's the lone guy.
For 8-9 years.
Yep.
And so they're talking about, they want, you know, they're looking for the new top, you know, face of the company to carry forth. And they want a guy young enough to be that for 7 years. And I don't think they should. I think 3 years is about the max that you're going to, you know, stay appealing and that you can leave and come back to major nostalgia pops.
Because let's not look back on history with, you know, rose-colored glasses, because towards the end of Rock's run, people were getting kind of tired of him.
Yeah.
You know, back when he would leave for a while to do a movie and come back and really not have anything new, but would come out and do his Rock concerts. It's just like, okay, we get it, you know, hooray, you're a big star, but
well, it's kind of,
you know,
it's kind of how we feel about Randy Orton right now, where it's like,
oh yeah,
Randy Orton's a young guy and should have the best part of Randy Orton's career should be coming up right now.
Right. Oh yeah, but the fact that he got in so young and got pushed to the top at such a young age, he's done it all.
Yeah.
You know, he's really got nothing left to do. You know, other than the fact that he's got one less major championship win than Cena. That's it.
I mean, other than the fact that it still feels like he should be able to, you know, bring it in a main event match. And
yeah, by all means, he has the ability to. And he, you know, should have the interest of it, but he just doesn't.
So,
I don't know. Come out and just be basically, you know, just squash Braddock's is just... The guy really just has nothing going on right now. And other than, you know, have him constantly face Wade Barrett, which we're getting again on SmackDown this week.
Yep.
Him and Wade Barrett again.
Yep.
And it's going to do nothing for Wade, and it's going to do even less for Randy.
Yeah. I can see why, because those guys look really good together. But
right.
But I've seen it.
Yeah, we saw it.
It kind
at least
of
5-10 times now.
Well, it kind of peaked at the whole, like, you know, the fight that eventually ended up in the elevator.
Yeah, the elevator came. Yeah,
where like it was, that was the one where it was like these two guys at each other so intensely that it, you know, can't be contained within these ropes.
Yep.
And so every other match is like, oh, that match was contained within these ropes. Whatever, I don't care.
And ever since then, you know, Randy Orton pretty much put Wade away, you know, pretty easily.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's about it for me.
Yeah, that's about it for me, too.
All right. Remember, as always, you should follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire, every Monday, tweeting up a storm with reactions.
Woo! And if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, anything you want us to address here on the show, send it to our email. It's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast and other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes.
Woo!
Find us on iTunes. Click the subscribe button. You get new episodes every week. Maybe give us a review.
5 stars.
Maybe give a star rating.
5 stars.
It'd be really awesome. Really help out the show.
Woo!
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.